All right, Minor Talk is live along with Sal Montes. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Zay Galindo will be in the house as well, to my knowledge. Our telephone number 915-505-6009. We have so much to talk about today. First off, of course, it's basketball. Flames of Liberty defeat UTEP 80-69. We've got a lot of UTEP football recruiting news to hit on as well. I might have to name my firstborn child EJ after EJ Colson signing with the Miners, the new quarterback for UTEP. I'm all in, Sal. Like, I'm 150% in, and we'll get to that later on in the program as well. So I'm excited to talk today. We got NFL playoffs on deck, 49ers and Seahawks coming up later tonight on 600 ESPN El Paso. But for now, we get a chance to talk some UTEP hoops. Sal, I believed in this game. I actually thought the Miners fought in this one pretty well, and I liked the way that they cut the 17-point deficit, or what they were trailing in the first half, to a one-score game at halftime. Liberty led 41-30. And things were good. I mean, out of the half, the Miners were playing pretty good as well, and then they just simply got worn down. I mean, they really tried to shut down the three-point, and I kept saying it, 10 three-pointers was the key. Well, they held Liberty to 7 in this matchup, but they also allowed the Flames to shoot 59% from the field in this matchup, and for layups, 21 for 28, and that's just all backdoor cuts. That's backdoor screens, yeah. And that's Richie McKay knowing Joe Golden coach squads, and he knows that he's ready defensively, like, to keep this team on defense ready to go for this UTEP matchup. I was a little disappointed in the UTEP defense. I was also disappointed, you know, they really have shortened down their lineup, and we didn't get a chance to see guys like L.A. Hayes for another matchup here tonight. Nonetheless, Miners have to regroup, and I kind of like the mentality, right? Like, I thought the way the head coach Joe Golden closed out the post-game show was solid. Look, the things haven't gone their way. They're not happy about what's gone on so far with this basketball squad. Right here at the midway point of their conference season, this is a time to kind of reset, do something different, and maybe go back home and win some of these games. They have 6 of their next 8 at home, and this is an opportunity for them to have all this, you know, where they can actually get on a better winning stride on their side of things. So, Sal, that's where I start things off here on the program when it comes to UTEP basketball, and when they come back home next week as they take on FIU and Missouri State.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting one for the Miners. I think this is one of their better chances, probably their best chance on the schedule all year to kind of right the ship, so to speak, within these next 4 games. Like, it's prime for it. And in the last leg of that 4 games is going to be against a team that you already beat, that being Delaware. So for the Miners, you kind of just want to get some better footing. But all in all, Adrian, for this game here, I think the score was always going to be 11-plus going into this one.
Yes.
Just didn't happen the way that we thought. I thought it was maybe going to be Liberty blowing them out, you know, for a good part of the game, and then the Miners get hot, garbage time, cut it to 11. But no, this score is not indicative of how the game went for majority of it. So respectable score, but Liberty's just the top dog in the conference for a reason. They were going to win this one regardless.
I think Liberty is just they're just so much better, right? They're so much better down the stretch. They've been together for so long.
Yes.
It's exactly what we talked about on Thursday. Zach Cleveland, Colin Porter, Caden Matheny, all these guys together, the trio that has stayed together throughout, you know, the last couple years. And that's a testament to Liberty being able to fund that program. When you look at NIL, the funny thing is, when we talk to our listeners about NIL and you look at how Conference USA stacks up, it's important to remind people that it's Liberty and then a big gap and then everybody else. That's the way that the NIL structure is laid out. I mean, NIL is not a problem for Liberty. In football, I've heard it's well over 1.5 million. In basketball, I've heard it's around the 1.5 million as well. And if you're able to pay all these guys to keep them on your squad, Zach Cleveland, Porter, Matheny, and then you're also able to develop players like Decker. I mean, Brett Decker Jr., he has taken a massive leap from last year to this year. 20 points tonight, 34 minutes of action, ultra productive offensive player for him. And then Zach Cleveland is kind of their spark. I mean, 9 for 10. The only shot he missed was a 3-point attempt, and he had 20 points tonight in 34 minutes of action. Ultra productive when it comes to those guys, Sal. And then they fill it out with the two other guys who returned to their squad, Porter with 15, Matheny with 13. You don't worry about these guys too much on offense. They find ways to get buckets, and that's what they did tonight, or today, I should say, against the Miners in this matchup.
Yeah, and it's been a long time cooking for these guys, and that's why they're so fluid. The Miners, in a way, actually, I don't know. I think it was kind of the way it worked out for Liberty, but when you look at the numbers, Liberty didn't get to shoot lights out the way they normally do, but
right.
You can afford to do that when you're getting, you know, multiple backdoor cuts throughout the game, when you're forcing passes out of bounds. You can afford to do that, so nobody really needed to stand out. And it's crazy because Zach Cleveland, again, it's like, where was this dude all game? And you look at the box score, 20 points, quietest big night ever, 6 boards, 3 steals, 4 blocks. I think that was the loud part of the game, was the blocks. But
yeah.
Zach Cleveland just makes such an impact without even having to be loud on the court. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is somebody who's he has the finesse. He can get to the basket. He's talented. Defensively, he's there. He's been a fun player to watch over the years for the Flames. I just can't stand this Liberty team, though, Sal. Like, Caden Matheny with 3 steals. Zach Cleveland with 3 steals and 4 blocks. What a game. I mean, that's CUSA Player of the Week right there. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks, 3 steals for Zach Cleveland. What a game. And he does it quietly. The only one that was emphatic was when he had that cross-court steal. He picks off, you know, UTEP near the half court mark, and then he goes in for an uncontested layup to score on the other side. So that was the only one that was kind of like, ooh, that was a stamp of approval, right? Or that was a seal right there to solidify, you know, their success. But man, I thought this game was entertaining, like both voice of the Miners, John Teicher, and head coach Joe Golding said. Were you in that same category? Did you enjoy this game? Because I did. I actually thought the Miners, who came in as 13.5-point underdogs, showed a lot of fight. And really, you know, outside of the last 9 minutes, they were in this game.
I thought going into this game, Liberty was going to, you know, start the game right away and kind of just walk away with it early, not being much of a contest. So in that regard, much better game than I anticipated. The Miners cutting it close multiple times. It wasn't just, you know, every now and then here or there. Like, they were itching back multiple times, but Liberty just able to answer with big bucket after big bucket, and it wore down the Miners. So I can't be disappointed, you know what I mean, for this game to be better than what I initially thought it would be.
Clearwater checked into the program on social media in this matchup right here. Why is Trey Horton playing over L.A. Hayes? Seriously, no made threes, he has defensive lapses, fumbled a pass out of bounds. It's not a coincidence that UTEP did okay to start the game and well to end the half, and poorly when Horton was in and we fell in a hole. Be better, Joe Golding. The Trey Horton minutes, okay, so to defend the decision for this one right here, and I'm not defending, I would put L.A. Hayes at this point. I mean, he had a great week last week, man.
Yeah.
And pretty much gets zero this week off the bench. It tells you, I mean, look, there's probably things like practice and how he needs to be better at practice and stuff like that. I get all of that. But Sal, I mean, in this matchup, Trey Horton, 3 points, 1 for 3. He hit a 3-pointer today, but 2 turnovers, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. And if you're going to be pro Trey Horton, you're going to argue his defense keeps him in the game. But in this one, he had some defensive lapses. I'd agree with Clearwater. Tonight, he was minus 16 in plus minus, by the way, for Trey Horton.
Yeah, that's not good at all. And even looking at more numbers, too, more turnovers than assists. He almost has as many turnovers as he does points. He's off by 1 in that regard. So for 16 minutes, man, that's a lot of nothing for 16 minutes, especially
right.
When you go 7 deep. You know what I mean? I can understand if you go maybe like, you know, 8 to 10, so to speak, and some guys aren't, you know, itching towards that territory, but man, it's that's just too much nothing, man.
Yeah, too much nothing indeed. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Zay Galindo's in the house, which is great as well. We'll have Zay jumping in the studio here in just a second. Liberty defeats UTEP 80-69. You want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. Steve Kaplowitz chimed in on the hashtag free LA Hayes conversation. And then Shannon checks into the program. Man, is that Liberty team well coached? Ouch. And look, I mean, Richie McKay and Joe Golding have had their they've had their games. I mean, this is the seventh time these two have met up in Conference USA since they've joined this league. So that's another thing to kind of look at. This is coming in from Mr. E, Caleb Blackwell from the parking lot. And yeah, welcome back, Caleb Blackwell. 6 made three-pointers. He was 6 for 11, 20 points. He was on fire. 7 assists to 3 turnovers. He also contributed with 2 rebounds, played 34 minutes of action. And maybe that's not enough, Sal. Like, Caleb Blackwell, what an absolute baller tonight, or I should say today in this game against Liberty. He stood out to me, and I think he's fully back. Like, I think despite having that injury on his side, Caleb Blackwell is officially back with UTEP basketball.
34 minutes, you know, that tends to agree with you right there. It's nice to see, especially when you look back and say, man, they could have used him here, they could have used him there. But conference play, what, right at the midpoint, so, you know, so yes, to speak, it's good to have one of, if not your hottest players out there right now. So good to see him back out there, man. 34 minutes is a lot, and it's easy to say that on a 7-deep night, but I think we could be seeing a lot of 30-plus minute nights out of Blackwell.
915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Zay is in the building as well, just checking in here onto the program. The Liberty Flames defeat UTEP 80-69. Zay, what's up? What'd you think of this game?
You know, it was the Caleb Blackwell show. I mean, you guys are talking about it right now, but he looked great, of course, and not much you could take away from a game like this, right? You go on the road against the best team in conference play, and you play them close, you play them good. Obviously, still a lot of mistakes to clean up, but it wasn't terrible, right? It wasn't terrible, and that's where we're at with this team. You know, you can't expect them to win games like this, and you got to take what you can get. So it was fun. There was, you know, the beginning, the first 4 minutes, at least, of that second half, like, that was good basketball on both sides. I think that was the best basketball that I've seen in Conference USA in a while. Like, they were just churning buckets. There were good passes, good defense, everything. And before Liberty goes on that run, it was a fun game to watch. So, yeah, not much to take away from, but it's a tough loss. You take what you can get, though.
Elijah Jones, welcome back as well. I mean, he struggled the last two home games. Even the last game that we saw, you know, UTEP play on the road here in this road swing against Delaware, he wasn't necessarily great. So I would look at Elijah Jones today as kind of getting back to it. 21 points. I love how he attacks off the dribble. That, to me, is one of the most under-talked about you know, qualities that Elijah Jones brings. 7 rebounds, 2 turnovers, 2 blocks for Elijah Jones. Quickly back to Caleb Blackwell. I heard this from a couple people in text threads, and then I even had a text from Hunter about this. Caleb Blackwell, kind of streaky. You know, he'd have a big bucket, but then on the defensive side, he would have a lapse, or then on the offensive side on the next possession after having a three, he would kind of rush into something offensively. So, Zay, I would say the only thing I would want with Caleb Blackwell is like a more polished point guard who can kind of set him up a little better. I think he was trying to create just, you know, kind of bringing the ball up the court or having KJ Thomas kind of create off of him. But he kind of needs a where, you know, that's the void that Tyrese Watson kind of should have, you know, had at this point right here. Tyrese Watson could have been that guy who could have been, you know, the guard who gets him even hotter than he really was in this game. I just think he needed that. I think there were certain possessions where, yeah, he'd drill a three, and then on defense there'd be a lapse. Or he'd drill a three, and then the next offensive possession there'd be some kind of mistake. And he is a streaky type of player. You kind of want to let him play loose. At the same time, you need somebody to kind of set him up.
You know, I think I'll go against that. Okay. I like him bringing up the ball and, you know, playing him, giving himself a shot. And, you know, you said it right. He's gonna be streaky. He's going to be inconsistent. He's not a great defensive guard, but forget defense. You know, that you can go and recruit defenders all day. You see where that's going to get you, you know, hence the last couple of years for this UTEP team. So you can make good shooters and good offensive players good defenders. You can't make good defenders into good shooters. You know, that's just how it goes. And I do agree with Tyrese Watson. It'd probably be a little bit easier, but I like when Caleb Blackwell gets hot and he's the one making his own shot. I mean, that's where he's best at, you know, stepping back into the corner, hit that tough corner three, at that deep three, of course, that run at the end of the first half. I like him being the guy on this team, and I want to see him set other guys up more rather than himself.
Let's go back to Twitter and X, 915-505-6009. Still to come, we've got our UTEP football segment that we've been itching for, and I was about to call an emergency minor talk and throw out the bat signal to everybody, not just Sal and Zay, but everybody else, like even Steve and stuff, after yesterday's EJ Colson verbal commitment, and then this morning, the Tavoris Jones commitment. So a lot to get to for UTEP football, but continuing with the basketball game, Manny David checks into the show. I didn't expect UTEP to beat Liberty. Just wanted them to keep it close and respectable. I'll tip my hat to that. Just got to say, keep their heads up and prepare for next game. Next week, back in the Dawn. So let's pack the Dawn. Hashtag minor talk. To the pack the Dawn note, good thing that they are running it back with the season or the ticket special. So $9.15, I believe, right, Sal?
Yeah, $9.15, and hey, they're trying everything to get people out there in the seats, and that's what you want. The move to the Mountain West, it's inevitable. It's coming up. It's right around the corner. Got to be you know, as well prepared financially as you can be. So good stuff.
Yeah, let's go to another one. This is from Shannon, who said, you know, against the Skylar Locklear move to Missouri State. Lateral move, meh. This is from Herman Flores, back to basketball. Let's go. A single-digit win is back in play. You know, UTEP is 6-11. They've got a lot of home games left. They've got six games left at home. I would be really surprised if they don't. Now I can even see them 11 wins, 12 wins. Like, I could see that. I mean, they're at six already. They've got FIU, Missouri State. At worst, in my opinion, they split that series next week at home. Then the next home game, or the next home stretch against La Tech and Delaware, maybe that's where you can start stringing along a win streak, because I think La Tech and Delaware are two winnable games to close out this month. And then February should be a gauntlet. You got on the road at Sam Houston, you've got a home game against New Mexico State, then on the road against Jacksonville State. I just don't see them absolutely crumbling during that stretch, Sal. I just don't.
My bad. I was talking to Paulus. What was that last part?
Well, I'll swing it to you, Zay. Well, I was just going to say, I don't see them crumbling during this stretch, whether it's at home or on the road. Like, I don't see them. This upcoming stretch right here, I think it's going to be beneficial to UTEP.
I think, they've looked better these last couple of games, and they've been able to win possessions and you know, be on the other side of the ball, so to speak, more times than not, and that's why they get the win against Delaware. That's why they look impressive, you know, for good stretches against Liberty. So going off of that alone, I feel more confident that they can get some of those swing type of games. But when it's on the road, though, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher. So good thing for them. A lot coming up at home, so this is the time to make some noise.
Zay, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that that's going to be a tough stretch, right? But like, I
agree
with
you. Think it's going to be a tougher stretch?
It's going to be a tough stretch, any stretch of conference play for this team. But
okay, fair.
I do agree with you that they're not going to necessarily crumble, right? And I think crumble for this team is like lose every game, right? Like, they're not going to win a single game after that. Like, I think they'll be able to snag out a few, and I agree. I think, you know, 10, maybe 11 wins, possibly even 12 if they get hot at the right time. Like, that's in the range. It's not out of, you know, that's not out of left field to say that.
Okay, let's go back to Twitter next. And our telephone number again, 915-505. 6009. This is coming in from Shannon again, who said this Liberty team is perfectly coached. I would, you know, for Liberty and for all the love to them, I'd just say that this weekend, the close game against New Mexico State and what we saw here in this matchup right here, they're beatable. Like, they're, if UTEP found themselves in a dark alley with this Liberty team in the Conference USA tournament, I'm not going to say it's impossible. Now, if this is the championship game, I mean, maybe the stakes are a little higher, but I just don't think it's going to be as, you know, as much of a... Do you feel like this team is beatable, Zay?
Yeah, they're definitely beatable. I mean, you see the lapses at times, and you know, I think they get a little bit comfortable, too. You know, defensively, they may get a little bit too lackadaisical. Yeah, and you said it perfectly, right? If this is like the quarterfinals or semifinals, like... Hey, right? It's anything could really happen. And the championship game might be a little bit different, but you can catch this Liberty team on a bad day. Like, they're not invincible. You said the New Mexico State game. I mean, NMSU comes back from, I think they were down like 15, 16. That they only lose by three. You saw UTEP make a couple of runs in that. So they need to clean some things up. And I get it, right? They play like a really, really well-coached team, and they are. But... Yeah, I feel like UTEP fans are giving them a little too much credit.
Okay, I would agree with that, too. I just think that, Sal, if it's Liberty in the Conference USA tournament, just absolutely running it up, I wouldn't be shocked. But then at the same time, if this team bows out at some point in the CUSA tournament, it's to me, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise.
I'm looking at Liberty and thinking of what I would think of other teams in Conference USA who were red hot, you know, and were basically had one loss or undefeated come conference tournament time, and makes you wonder if you would be shocked that they lost. And I don't get that exact feeling like when Memphis was in the league. Not to the extent, maybe like 25% of it, but a little bit of North Texas when they came to El Paso at the Haskins Center. But like 25% of that. So I don't think they're as good as those teams. They're the best team in the league, but this is a really bad league. So, you know, they're 7-0 because they happen to be in Conference USA, for that matter. So I do think this team is beatable, maybe by like three teams or so.
Okay, fair. That's fair. Guys, let's do it. Let's rip open the Band-Aid, and we're going to talk some UTEP football. I'm so excited for this. We've been waiting for this one right here for a little bit, and for this UTEP football offseason, it's been an absolute roller coaster. Let's start off how, you know, it really started with UTEP football. They lost their entire offense. They lost a lot of their coaching staff. They lost their OC, Mark Calla. They lost so many different players, from Skylar Locklear going to Missouri State to Malachi Nelson jumping up to the ACC at Syracuse. Let's get the quick take from you guys on all that. And kind of before we jump into the UTEP recruiting side of things, your thoughts on Malachi, Skylar's movement, and what that means for UTEP and kind of this offseason right here. We'll start with you, Sal. What'd you think when you saw the news?
I was like, going to a P4 school after Conference USA and things haven't looked good. Hey, anything's possible, but at the same time, to they have more resources available over there, and they have more things they can try and do to untap that potential. So the eligibility is still there. So why not try it if you're that team? So I can understand that. What was the second one?
Well, both guys, Skylar and Malachi. Your thoughts?
And for Skylar, I wouldn't. I guess it's lateral, but more on the upside if you're Skylar, because you're going to a team that's coming off of a winning season, and you know, a team that studied you, and they're like, hey, you know what, maybe you weren't being utilized properly, come over here. And hey, with Kala over there too, like, there's some familiarity. I think there was some play calling that he had near the end, so there's that. But I don't know, man. I think Conference USA is still a really, really bad conference, especially in football. So if you have a couple of better pieces to your puzzle, so to speak, you could probably have a better year. It's not harder to have a better year.
Well, my thought would be is you look at Malachi Nelson and the experiment that we saw at UTEP. I said it on Minor Talk. I wish we could run it back, but I said it on Minor Talk in the moment. I was just like, there's going to be somebody who talks themselves into this guy. There's going to be somebody who thinks this guy still has that prowess of a five-star quarterback, and there's going to be a team that imagines and says, if he has an O-line, if he has weapons around him, if he has a running back, he can make things work around him. And the interesting part is he's not necessarily like outright QB1 at Syracuse. He's going to go into another quarterback battle, but that's a place where we've seen bounce back top level recruits go out and shine. I mean, Kyle McCord, he was at Ohio State, falls down to Syracuse, but still has a lot of success with the Orange. And then you look at Steve Angeli. He was okay with Notre Dame. He played at the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl as well. And then he goes to Syracuse and he was their starter. You know, he was their kind of go-to guy. So, Zay, you give me your thoughts. Locklear and Nelson, the two who were officially on the move and who made it official with their next spots as of yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The college coaches, you know, somebody was going to talk themselves into, you know, I can save them. That type of mentality, like, you know, he's the five-star.
You probably thought in college football you could save Malachi.
Yeah, yeah. If I saw, like, if I was a random guy and you know, I was doing a rebuild and I saw him in the portal, like, yeah, I'm going to take a chance on him. The five-star people... People love to say stars don't matter. This, like, yes, they do. If Malachi Nelson was like a 3-star, no way he ends up at Syracuse, right? Like, he's he's playing at UT Rio Grande Valley right now, if that's the case. So, I mean, you see it right there. Stars do matter. That's why Skylar Locklear is going to Missouri State and Malachi is going to Syracuse because, you know, stars. Skylar was arguably better, like much better than Malachi throughout the year. So I'm interested to see how they both end up working out, because if they both find success, then there's obviously a deeper problem here at UTEP, right? You know, if Skylar and Malachi both, you know, end up winning their jobs and looking pretty good, you know, there's stuff to worry about. But I think that one of them will win the job, and we'll see what ends up happening there. I think Skylar going to Missouri State, yeah, it is a lateral move, but did anybody expect him to transfer up? I didn't expect to see him land at an AAC school or something like that. This is the best move for him. I feel like UTEP just wasn't it for him anymore, right? It was that mutual divorce, and it makes sense for both sides to move on. So I'm happy for Skylar. I'm ready to see what he can do, because I really do believe in him. I think he's a talented quarterback.
Missouri State finished last year 7-6. They went to the Xbox Bowl and lost to Arkansas State. They had a great season. Now they're going to completely reset their coaching staff, and they're going to try to run it back and try to have another good season here with a whole new staff that includes former UTEP OC Mark Kalla, and like we mentioned, Skylar Locklear. If I was to say, if I was to ask a question, I don't think it's really fair, but if I was to ask you, like, you know, if I was to tell you either of these teams make a bowl game, which one is it? I think that's unfair, because I think the easy answer is like Syracuse. I mean, they've got the resources and stuff like that. And so if you say, well, if Syracuse and Nelson are successful, then that poses or like shows some flaws with UTEP. I just don't think he was set up for success with how it was all orchestrated for him at UTEP. I'm talking about Malachi Nelson. I think for him, the expectations were high. They were hoping for something special. And I think that, you know, when it came down to all of it right there, and Malachi Nelson in particular, they just didn't find that success. It wasn't that, it just didn't materialize that on-field success that this team wanted and expected. And when they were kind of pressured at that point, they made the flip. They went to Skylar Locklear. And some people called us at the end of the season, Sal, and they were like, why didn't Malachi get back, you know, thrown back in the mix? So I think neither of those quarterbacks were ever going to be successful in that system as it was last year. That's why this offense, you know, in the offseason has hit a complete reset, like from top to bottom, has hit a complete reset.
I think also, too, another thing that helps out is knowing who your starter is long before the season starts. You know, that definitely plays a big role. We saw this going into year one. Was it Cade? Was it going to be Skylar? And nobody knew. Same questions going into this one. I think there was more certainty that it was going to be Malachi, because why even bring a five-star? Like Zay said, stars matter. Why bring a five-star in here? Why would they come here if they're not going to get the go, you know, earlier than imagined? So I do think that knowing who you have earlier is going to be a big difference. That's what I'm looking forward to, is like, are we going to wait until August to hear this answer? That's a long, long time from now. So there should be an answer earlier. But I think they gave both guys their fair shot. That's for sure. Just didn't pan out with either of them.
EJ Colson is the quarterback that UTEP has in the mix as they hit the complete reset. They've gone after running backs. They've gone after wide receivers. They've gone after offensive linemen. And everybody was wondering, who's going to be the damn quarterback for this team? Who's going to actually be the gunslinger for the squad right here? It was very quiet all week long. This was kind of that last crunch time week where there were certain guys who were out there and available. There are certain guys who are still in the portal right now. And EJ Colson is a guy who threw for over 2,100 passing yards at Incarnate Word. He had 16 passing touchdowns to 4 interceptions. He had 3 rushing touchdowns, so he poses that dual threat ability. He's 6'1", 190 pounds, but I like everything about him. Like, I mean, honestly, I've dug deep into all the archives. I've watched a lot of the film. Today I watched Incarnate Word versus Lamar, his first start where they killed Lamar. This was an Incarnate Word squad that was 5-7. And by the way, interesting to note, head coach, Clint Killo, was one of the finalists for the UTEP head coaching job before Scotty Walton ended up getting it, and his quarterback now goes to Scotty Walton. And that's, you know, kind of an interesting mark right there, but Colson has an opportunity to truly blossom with this UTEP squad right here. He was a four-star prospect coming out of the state of Georgia. He was somebody who, you know, was highly regarded when he first was recruited to UCF. Actually, he was a Purdue commit and then rerouted to UCF, played in three games for the Knights, and started one of them. He, after that first year, he ends up in the portal, going to Incarnate Word, and as a redshirt freshman, he played and started in the last eight games for the Cardinals last year. And for that squad, I'll say it again, they were 5-7, they're FCS, he's making a jump to FBS, he's a young player, he's going to be a redshirt sophomore. I'm 150% in on this, Zay. 150%.
You know, and I told you I don't think I'm all in yet, but I'm close, right? I'm close. So you gotta see him. I gotta see him on the field. I'll see him in practice. But you said it perfectly, right? He's a young guy. He's a young quarterback. He's getting on his feet. You know, he was thrown into the fire at Central Florida, right? He's 17 years old. He's having to start in the Big 12, and obviously doesn't work out there. Heads to Incarnate Word, finds his footing, and now he's here at UTEP. He's a key piece to this offense, and I still think they're a few key pieces away from me really saying,
sure,
okay, like this is going to be much improved from last year. I do think they're going to be a little bit better, but having to replace all that production, all that games with guys that, let's just say it, there's not a lot of FBS experience on this offense right now, it's going to be hard for me to really say, okay, they're going to put this guy in the best position to succeed, right? Because that's what it comes down to a lot. We talked about it with Malachi and Skyler. Neither of them were in the best position to succeed this year, right? The Malachi, he was inexperienced. Skyler kind of just thrown into the fire as well with these weird expectations. They need to put their young quarterback in a position to succeed. And until they really do that and put key pieces around him, I don't know if I can 100% buy in. But that doesn't mean I'm not excited about him. Like, you see the tape, you see the stats. He has everything you want out of a quarterback at this level, and he projects to be really, really good if you develop him.
To that point, as far as, yeah, and I will temper those expectations too. When I say I'm 150% in, I'm 150% in on him being like a starter every single week for UTEP and kind of going in as the guy. Like, that's where I'm at. But you're right. I mean, they still have the offensive line to fill out. And Sal, I want to get your take on this one too, because, you know, UTEP, when they got a chance to get Kai Loxley, there was a lot of hype and excitement.
For
he
sure.
was the number one yeah. JUCO prospect. This guy, you know, who they got into the mix right here, EJ Colson, he was somebody who had an opportunity to also star for this squad right here and have some, you know, have some success at Incarnate Word, so at the FCS level. So he was, you know, looked to being that kind of leader on that team right there. So they're getting a guy who's had that proven mentality. And with Kai Loxley, he was a former number one junior college transfer who bounced back from Texas and came to the minors. But at that point, it was like, well, who does UTEP have around him? And it was really tough. I mean, it was like a lot of Iron Man football by Kai Loxley that first year in 2018. And even 2019, like, it was a lot of Iron Man football. He was just, you know, trying a lot of those RPOs. He couldn't really throw those intermediate to long passes. But I don't worry about that with EJ Colson. Like, he has dual threat ability, but he leans on his passing game. He doesn't necessarily, like, lean on the run game. He can mix in the run game when he needs to. And that's what I kind of like about him. But as far as hype, as far as prospect goes, Sal, I don't think we've seen a quarterback come to UTEP like this since Kai Loxley, who had the bit of experience behind him at a lower level where you thought, okay, he's done it at a lower level. Can he now do it at the FBS level? And that will be his thing. Now, Malachi is the most decorated prospect to ever come to UTEP. Don't get me wrong. And when he first came to UTEP, or when he was committed to UTEP last year around this time, the hype was there and the hype was through the roof. But this feels different. This feels like, you know, he could be a young prospect who can kind of be the guy for UTEP.
You know who he kind of reminds me of, just in terms of like the hype and being able to do it at a lower level, is I got a name for you. You probably haven't heard this in a while, but I'm going to take it back to Nick Lamison. How about
oh,
that?
Oh, good name.
Out of a Mount Sac in California, West Covina.
Half football player, half rapper.
That's right. And I think he does real estate now, by the way, too. He's doing his thing. So shout out to Nick Lamison. But, you know, but also, too, with Loxley, right, that that Power 4 or back then Power 5 experience, Lamison coming out of, I think it was at Tennessee for a year or something like that, too. So that's what you hope for. And if he's able to get those throws in, that's definitely what you want. But I also want to see, like, what is the play calling like? Is it going to be similar to what we saw the first 2 years? Because if that's the case, I mean, come on, man. Just open that thing up.
True. I mean, the other part to that is I saw some of those some of the film. Well, by the way, Lamison was 2-10 with that UTEP football squad. So or I should say 5-11 or 5-7 with that football squad. So they struggled. They had to beat Stony Brook in overtime 31-24. So Lamison, he was kind of the Iron Man to that team. Like, don't forget, like, he was in that 2011 squad. He was kind of the Iron Man for them because they were kind of, you know, they lacked a lot of talent when it came to you know, the football side of things. I would say for EJ Colson, he's somebody who also worked under quarterback guru Quincy Avery. So interestingly enough, they go from Malachi Nelson and Jordan Palmer, Zay, to now EJ Colson and Quincy Avery. And that, he's like the guy in the Southeast, Florida guys, guys who are in the NFL. But he's worked with him for over 10 years as a quarterback. So I like that. And I like his athleticism, man. I just as a pure prospect, I don't think I've been this excited about a UTEP commit and prospect in a long time. I'm all in. I really like this guy.
Yeah, and I mean, when you go from one of the best in the business to another one of the best in the business, at least with, you know, quarterback gurus, you're bound to hit on at least one of them, right? And hopefully UTEP hits right here. And I agree, right? I'm excited about this. But I've been more excited about some guys before. Like, I'd have to reach in and think, but, like, I'm not saying I'm not feeling it, but I'm not feeling it how I've felt it before, you know?
Okay. I'm going to just say this. When Malachi came here, I had people in my life who told me this is not going to work. I remember that. I had people who knew Malachi in the past. I had people reach out to me, and they said this is not going to work at UTEP. This is just not going to be it. And when even when Skyler came to UTEP, like the thought was he's a good player, but he's just not going to be a quarterback at this level. Now, he proved everybody wrong. He could be a quarterback at the group of five level or group of six level. From the, you know, 24 hours of EJ Colson and everybody I've reached out to and everybody I've read online, everybody speaks so highly of this guy. And I just don't think he's had the right shot in the right opportunity. So, Sal, are you in the camp of A, give the keys to the car right now here in January to EJ Colson and let him, you know, compete with Chad Warner. Let him, you know, go into that quarterback room, but now prioritize building around him. Or B, bring in more guys. You have cycled through quarterbacks in the past, and it's not just because of poor play. It's also because of injury. Don't just take a quarterback for granted and get another guy in that locker room as well.
I think I still think you got to get more guys because it's the wild, wild west now in college athletics. Guys can, at the drop of a dime, can go somewhere else, you know, in certain points of the offseason. So, I mean, who know? Heck, UTEP just got this dude right after the running back. I can't remember his name, but the running back had committed, decommitted, and it was all doom and gloom for a couple days up until this news with Colson. So I still think you got to load up. However, that's not to say don't name a starter. Like, do that as soon as you can. Do that before the spring game, and whoever has more, whatever the case is, your criteria is your criteria. But we gotta know for sure long before August. We have to.
I think so too. It can't drag into the fall, Zay. It really just can't. The dragging this quarterback contest in the fall. So which one would you go with? Option A or B? Would you just hand him the keys now, build around him, or still stack up more quarterbacks?
Is there like C, like hand them the keys, but like somehow get some JUCO guys in there? Because
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that too.
Yeah, like basically tell them this is your job, but we still need depth. Like, I don't want Chad Warner as, you know,
I'm cool
love
with
the
that.
Chad Warner. He's been, you know, eating up on the rib hook, getting big, but I don't want him to be the backup in his you know, basically his freshman year, didn't get any playing time last year. You need to go out there and get a serviceable, maybe a JUCO guy that you can convince and say, hey, we already have our guy, but you're going to be the backup, right? You're going to be the guy, and, you know, we've played multiple quarterbacks these past 2 years. We've had to, so something like that, you know, something like that, because it can't be any controversy. It can't be this, we're going to name a guy 1 week up. No, like, you tried that. You tried the secretiveness, the competitiveness. All positions are open. Come on. Sometimes no positions. You know, sometimes you already have your heart set, and I feel like E.J. Colson should be the guy no matter what.
Let's switch it up. Let's talk about another player who committed to UTEP today. That is a future minor back. Let's just call him the position he's going to play. Minor back Tavoris Jones, who's coming from Missouri. He played sparingly in the SEC, didn't play a ton, but hey, he was a Burgess High School standout. And when he was at Burgess, they threw him all over the field. He was wide receiver. He was slot. He was running back. They had him even as a punter. I've seen him throw passes as a quarterback or in halfback pass situations. Tavoris Jones commits to UTEP and is back in the Sun City. This is one of those that he was on a visit this week. By the way, Tavoris Jones, a very low-key social media account. When he first posted that he was visiting UTEP, I think it was Uze that kind of put everybody else on, because everybody was really quiet about this one right here, and everybody was super excited to see Tavoris Jones come here. No, he's of no relation to Aaron Jones. Just a coincidence that a guy who played running back in high school with the last name Jones is now rerouting to UTEP, but still a good get for UTEP. I don't know how impactful he will be. I don't know if he's necessarily a needle mover, kind of like E.J. Colson. Nonetheless, I love it. It's a great look for UTEP getting a guy like Tavoris Jones to come back to the 915.
And they both played high school football at Burgess. So, you know, last time that happened, obviously good things happened for this UTEP team, but look, for me, I'm excited about this pickup. You need running backs. You need more backs. You know, I was talking to some people. They don't think Cam Thomas is, like, going to be the guy. Like, I think he's going to be the guy. He's going to get maybe 14, 15 carries a game, 5 receptions, something like that. Like, they're going to use him a lot. They're going to rely heavily on him. But you need a true, you know, 3-down bell cow guy. And I think, I don't see why Tavoris Jones can't be that guy, right? The guy that you throw in maybe on 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-1. If he can maybe take that jump. Obviously, he never took that jump at Missouri, but that's Missouri, right? You're coming down to the Mountain West. I think you can take some sort of jump. He's had time to develop, and I feel like him, Elijah McCoy, like, that's a good 1-2 true halfback duo. So I'm excited about him. Like you said, I don't think it's necessarily a needle mover, but it is a good pickup nonetheless.
Sal, he played against Jaden Wilson, and then Jaden Wilson, linebacker for UTEP, throws up a picture today of them two embrace, you know, kind of hugging in high school. Like, he's wearing, Jaden Wilson is wearing the Austin High School Panthers, you know, apparel, and then Tavoris Jones has the Burgess High School apparel. It's kind of cool that you have two of the same class, out of the exact same class, come back to play for UTEP.
And you hear, not only did you hear the names of those guys plenty of times, but year in and year out on Football Friday night, when it comes to that later part of the year, we're talking about prestige, we're talking about history, going to see a lot of Austin High School, and obviously you're going to see a lot of mentions for talent out of Burgess. So it's definitely cool, and excited to see what he could do, just kind of browsing through the numbers, and I think like 9 games played or something total for him. So most carries he got in a season was not this past one, but the year before, 13 carries, only 27 total carries, 111 yards, only 1 rushing touchdown, which came this past year. So obviously SEC talent, you know, it's going to be plentiful over there. So just trying to get a crack at some playing time. That's what I'm gathering from it. But with Cam Thomas, you know, just the versatility that he has, it's nice to have a 1-2 punch. So I'd like to see what he could do.
Yeah, I think you put it perfectly, in the sense that there's going to be that SEC backing from him, because he has that kind of talent and caliber. He just hasn't really been on the field, and I'm glad you reeled off those stats, because I think those are really important coming into here. He's been at that level. Now he can play, or have an opportunity to play, a lot more. But he has to earn that on his side. So that's another thing. Any other thoughts on Tavoris Jones? I think that's a good get for UTEP overall. I'm a big thumbs up on EJ Colson. Big thumbs up on Tavoris Jones right now here in the portal.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like Sal said, you lose Jeremiah Coney. Like, that was a tough loss. But, hey, you know, the stats are somewhat comparable, and he was Jeremiah Coney was obviously on a worse team, Virginia Tech.
Sure.
And, I mean, Tavoris Jones played under, you know, I think one of the best backs in college football this year, Ahmad Hardy. So,
oh, good point.
You know,
I didn't think of that. Good point.
Yeah, he's played under really, really good backs at Missouri. I mean, that's how they win a lot of football games, is good backs. So, obviously, you'd like to see some more production because he's been there for 3 years already. But you take what you can get. This is still an SEC guy. Without the name, even if he wasn't from El Paso, like, this is still a really, really good get.
Jamin Lamb is another name to know. He's an offensive lineman from North Texas, 6'3", 273 pounds, who committed to UTEP officially today. You also heard the news about some other guys. Jonathan Howard, he's coming here from Virginia State. He's going to be playing safety for the Miners. UTEP needed some DBs. Usually they do this. They get them out of the NAIA ranks. They get them out of the JUCO ranks. That's usually how UTEP gets these decisions under their belt. So I'm not too surprised on that. That one right there. Also today, how about this one right here? A bit of a surprise. Austin Fergatch. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Austin Fergatch, the new general manager for UTEP football. He was formerly a player personnel associate for TCU, had worked with UCLA, Wake Forest, and the Rams. Now the staff is starting to round up into form, Zay. UTEP's got a GM who looks younger than me. He looks like 28, maybe even 27 or, you know, 26. He looks young.
They've got some young guys on this coaching staff, and hey, that's what UTEP fans wanted, right? You know, after, you know, they moved on from Dana Dimel, everybody was screaming, let's go young, 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 and you got it here. Let's see if it works out. But I like this hire. Obviously, I don't know much about college football GMs and what you look for out of a college football GM, because, one, it's such a new position, and two, I have no idea. You know, what does a GM in college football do, right? You manage the finance and stuff like that, but we don't know what exactly this job entails, because I'll bet you this, a GM here at UTEP is probably different than a GM at maybe a Duke or
sure,
something even higher than that at Miami, right? So everything's a little bit different, skewed nowadays, but I'm excited. He has a pretty good, decent resume for being as young as he is, and you needed a GM, you got one now.
Isaiah Bogerty is a linebacker who was all SWAC last year for Texas Southern. Sal, I think UTEP's got an identity in recruiting, and year three, we've really seen it take or round into form. It's UTEP going after FCS, NAIA guys, some JUCO, some FBS transfer portal guys, a lot of Texas high school football guys, and that's what this guy has. He has Texas high school football ties. He was at Texas Southern last year and now will be at UTEP this year. So guys who can maybe make a level up, and just like Dana Dimel had an identity recruiting junior college players, you're now seeing an identity kind of round into form with this coaching staff.
And another thing to add to the identity too is it's the location. You know, Texas heavy. Texas is going to be, it's easy to say that when you're in the state, don't get me wrong, but he's even said it himself, Texas is his number one priority when it comes to recruiting. So there's going to be a lot of diamonds in the rough that you're probably going to stumble upon, right? Whether they play for you for a while or not, going back to Kyren Duhon, I think that's another part of their identity, is finding just a dog on the edge or a linebacker. So they're going to find at least one dog or maybe two dogs. However long they stay here, that's another conversation, but I think that's also part of their identity too. So we're kind of getting a piece of you know, what's to come, you know, in these coming years, right after these last three recruiting classes. This one's still ongoing, but you're kind of seeing what's going on now.
Yeah, a little early in the process too, but guys, I'll swing it around one more time, and you tell me, what do you have a like, if you had a wish list of things that you still want for UTEP football, aside from offensive coordinator, which is the obvious right now, do you guys have anything right now that kind of comes to mind where it's like, all right, this is what they need absolutely right now, in my opinion? You go first, Zay, and then you sell.
They need more FBS transfers. I think we were being too nice with this FCS D2, and it, like, no. It hasn't worked the past 2 years. I mean, yeah, you're going to hit on a couple, but if you're building your team strictly through this, I don't think it's sustainable. I really don't like it. But, hey, maybe it works more this year. Maybe you get higher caliber FCS, D2, NAIA guys, but I just haven't been a fan of it. I'm not a big fan of this recruiting class outside of maybe EJ Colson, Tavarius Jones, and some of the Power 5 guys. Like, I need to see the way you win games is getting proven FBS guys that have played snaps at this level, that know how physicality works at this level. And, you know, maybe these words come back to bite me and it does work out bringing in all these FCS guys, but I don't know. I need to see more experience from this level specifically, and that's my wish list.
Okay, Sal, anything else you want to add?
I wish a priority for them would be an offensive line. In the same way we were conversing about quarterback, and you know, do they just give the keys now or get more guys? It's like treat the offensive line position the way that we're talking about the quarterback position. Have guys ready to go in bunches. I would love to see them go after a lot of FBS transfers. You can get what you could get. Right, whatever's available is going to be there, but
sure.
I think they desperately got to bolster that offensive line. Otherwise, you know, it could be another tough year.
All right, let's wind it down here on the program, guys. And I really appreciate everybody listening to us here on the program. Sorry, Hunter, we were going to go to you, but I took too long talking football, so that's on me. Our telephone number 915-505-6009. If you want to duck in late, call. We're going to wrap it up with some final UTEP basketball thoughts here on the program. And we're going to wind it up kind of turning the page and looking ahead to next week. The Miners, on the football side of things, should get more commitments trickling in over the weekend. So probably by Monday in Sports Talk, we'll have more updates for you for that. Liberty defeats UTEP in men's basketball, 80-69. The women have a huge game tonight, by the way. So that's a big one here for Keith Adams and company. Women's basketball hosting Kennesaw State here tonight. And they need to make this one happen. They need to get this one under their belt. It already happened. Sorry about that. Thank
FIU,
you, Sal.
Yeah.
They lost to FIU 67-59, and now the women's squad, they've lost five in a row. So they needed this one in a big way today here, and it didn't happen. So now on the road at Kennesaw State for Keith Adams and company. Women are really needing to kind of turn things around on their side. But for the men, they host both FIU and Missouri State next week at the Dawn. Guys, let's go around with predictions and just some final thoughts for some hoops. I think the Miners can beat both of those teams. So I'm going to say they sweep the weekend. And that might be surprising to some people, but if they can win Thursday, I truly believe they can win Saturday. So I'm going to go both back-to-back. You go first, Sal. What do you think?
I think they split FIU just a little bit too quick for them, but they have a better chance against Missouri State.
Okay. Zay?
Yeah, I think they split as well. I mean, like you said, I think they can be both, but I really just don't believe that this team can put together two back-to-back complete games, even if they're at home against subpar competition. So I think they can win both, but I think they're only going to win one.
Okay, I think that sounds great. I think as far as just winning one of them, that's a big plus for UTEP. So I think all of us are in an agreement. At least UTEP will win at least one of these games next week. And that's how low the bar is. I mean, if you're listening to us right now and you're kind of rolling your eyes about this squad, I mean, that's how low the bar is right now for this men's basketball team. And don't get it twisted. You know where we stand with the squad right now, with kind of the lack of success they've had thus far and where they kind of need to go here in the future. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see if the Miners can win this one here on Thursday against FIU, and then against an inferior opponent against Missouri State on Saturday. That'll do it for us today, guys. I really appreciate everybody. Appreciate Sal Montes. I really appreciate Zay Galindo. Appreciate Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on the program. And appreciate Thomas Adams Apparel for our new hats here for Minor Talk. If you missed any of Minor Talk, we have it all on demand. I know we haven't had a lot of traction on the phones. I know it's been kind of a weird year, but we still see the numbers on our podcast channel, and we really appreciate everybody for tuning in that way on demand. The numbers are there. We're not hitting people live. I know guys like Sidelines UTEP, he was like, dude, I'm listening to Minor Talk after the fact because he's got the Denver Broncos game right now. So totally understand. NFL playoffs are going on right now, and that just makes it to where we're going to be at it for this one right here. And it comes Thursday when UTEP takes on Florida International. For Sal Montes, for Zay Galindo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing signing off today, and that'll do it for us here on Minor Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso.